The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
Our guest on this segment of the Small Biz Brain is a true entrepreneur with a strong interest in helping businesses grow. Aside from earning her MBA from Harvard and an engineering degree at Georgia Tech, Gina Carr has a wealth of real-time experience in the world of franchising, which began in real estate. Then a few years ago, she launched Around Town Magazines as a new, unique franchising opportunity for entrepreneurs in the Atlanta area. Today, Around Town Magazines is a successful franchising opportunity with about 10 units and growing. Today, while continuing to grow Around Town, Gina's writing, speaking about entrepreneurship, marketing, sales, and customer service, and of course, franchising. Joining us on the line right now from Atlanta to share her story, her insights on all of these things, Gina Carr joins us. Good morning.
Well, good morning, David. How are you?
Great, doing great. Thanks for joining us on the Small Biz Brain. Where did the original idea to create Around Town magazines come from?
Well, we lived in a community, a master plan community, and there was really nothing that was connecting the community except this big parkway that wove through the community. And it occurred to me that, you know, you've got this neighborhood over here and another neighborhood over here, and there was nothing that was bringing them together. It did not feel like a community. It felt like individual neighborhoods. So that was a big impetus for it. I saw a need in the community to do something that would increase the communication and just make it feel more like a community.
Was there a natural bridge for you from the real estate to creating this bridge? This bridge?
Well, sort of. Part of being in real estate, of course, is that by being in real estate, I knew the different things that were going on in the communities, and I knew that would be really interesting to exchange that information. Actually, while I was at Harvard Business School, I worked on the school newspaper there for a little while, and that was a really interesting experience. And so I guess partially from being there, I saw how advertisers that really wanted to reach a target market would pay to reach that target market. And I also saw how communicating information that it would probably be pretty easy to communicate that sort of information back and forth between the communities if I could get people to start sending in pictures and clips of what they were doing and their kids were doing and those sorts of things.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that. Just to get kind of an overview for our listeners, what is Around Town and how exactly does it work?
Well, good question. Around Town is it's a magazine that profiles the good things that are going on in a community. It takes what people are doing in the churches and in the service clubs and in the businesses and in the schools, and it profiles what they're doing. So if an individual is having a clothing drive for, let's say, you know, recently Hurricane Katrina victims, it would talk about that. If little Johnny won a medal for being the most outstanding student, we might have a picture of little Johnny in the medal. So it's very much sort of a hometown apple pie kind of what's going on in the community. And it's advertiser driven. It's not a subscriber thing, so basically everybody in the community gets it, whether they want it or not, and it's a great place for local businesses to be able to advertise their products and services at an affordable rate, and that's, going back to the real estate company, that's another way, or, you know, another reason that this evolved was I had a real estate company. I was wanting to target a very specific area, but the alternatives that were available to me were very expensive, and they were very broad. They were going to, we're in Northwest Atlanta, and many of the options were going all over Atlanta, and I did not want or need that. And so it occurred to me that, well, there must be other small businesses that have this same need, and so what can I put together that they can participate in and advertise at an affordable price? It's something the community needs, and it'll be a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, you really connected a lot of dots in terms of formulating this model. Gina, what if you could share with us a little bit about the process in taking a raw idea like Around Town and then developing the prototype and then in turn creating a system to duplicate this model that would ultimately turn into a business that was franchisable?
Well, it's interesting because in the beginning, our initial goal was not to develop a business so much as it was to develop just a almost like a community service.
Wow.
That we just hoped would break even. We wanted to be able to advertise our real estate company. I wanted people who, you know, my friends who had their businesses to basically pay for that, and that it would all break even. And it turned out that from month one, we actually made money, and it's made money ever since, which has been wonderful. But it was just putting together the idea. I actually, probably a good lesson for other entrepreneurs is I did find someone who was doing something a little like what I was doing, and I hired her. I paid her a consulting fee. She was in a totally different market, but she had sort of a little magazine that looked a little like what I wanted to do. And so rather than just steal from her, you know, which I'm sure a lot of people would do, I called her and hired her to consult with us, and she did. And so that was very helpful. So it really ramped up the learning process and put us a good bit ahead of where we might have struggled for months to come up with the contracts and the pricing and the format and all of that.
Well, those are some of the just a few of those nuts and bolts. So in terms of creating a business that was duplicatable, understanding that that's not where it started. But when you finally realized that you did have what was something franchisable, what were some of the steps you had to go through to create a true franchise?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, people would move away and they would call us and ask us how to do it, and looking in Entrepreneur Magazine at, you know, franchise opportunities and that sort of thing, it occurred to me that maybe that this was franchisable. And so talking to some consultants about how to do it, and we found some really wonderful people, National Franchise Associates, and they walked us, you know, we hired them. They walked us through every step of the process, how to put together, you have to put together an operations manual, you have to put together, you know, how to produce what we produce so that it's easy for other people to pick up and run with. We had to put together the official disclosure documents, which at that time was called the UFOC, the Uniform Franchise Offering Circular, and now it's called the, it's a brand new thing called the FDD. I think it's called Franchise Disclosure Document. So that's a big legal part of, you know, huge document that has to be issued, much like with securities, as much like what has to be issued to prospective franchisees for them to review, to know what they're really getting into. And so it's one of those things you really can't do that on your own unless you have specific experience. You need to hire a pro to help you do that.
Okay, thanks for that. And I mean, what can someone expect in terms of cost to put something like that together, just in broadest terms? Or is there a range depending on the type of business?
There's a range. There's really a range. And we've heard as low as around $30,000 to as high as $150,000.
Wow.
And so the different consultants that are out there will offer you, well, we'll just do the documents, or we'll do the documents and help you market, or we'll help you sell your franchises, or we'll help you put together your whole marketing plan. So on the low end, to just get some basic documents done and maybe just some initial marketing strategy, if you're resourceful, you're generally looking at somewhere in the $50,000 to $75,000 range.
Okay. Now, in terms of selling advertising for a publication like this, I know that you're experienced in sales and you probably have a particular approach. And I was curious if you could lend us and our listeners maybe a sense of some of the key or fundamentals that if you're teaching someone new at sales, and this is a specific product, advertising for small business, what are some of the key points that you like to run with when you're training them?
Well, one of my key points is that, you know, you're not out there, you are out there to make a sale, but if you come across that way, that's the kiss of death. I like to teach people to say, you know, this is what I do, and okay, this is what you do. Let's get together and talk about how we can help each other. I'm real big on helping each other because businesses need advertising, and most businesses are going to do advertising. It's just whether they're going to do it with you or not. And I think if you can convey to them that you have their interests at heart and you don't want their money if you don't think it's going to be a good match and a good fit for them. So I really like that whole taking a consulting sort of approach of, you know, this is what we do, and perhaps there's something that we are doing that we can help you do what you do better.
Great. Yeah, yeah. So it's a very consultative kind of model.
Yeah, so you really need to interview them and understand their business.
Yeah.
And what their goals are, and perhaps, frequently we will look at the other things that they're doing, and we'll know by what they're doing whether ours fills a gap, which usually it does. Small businesses have a real hard time generally of tracking. You know, they may spend a lot of money in advertising, but they frequently don't know what works. So another thing that we do is to try to really construct an ad that works and that can, to an extent, be monitored without being just a basic discount coupon kind of thing.
Yeah. I was going to ask, in print media, what are some of the techniques for constructing an ad that you use that you've found to be successful?
Well, one of the things that is so important and is so often missed is what I call, and many people call, the unique selling proposition. What makes your business unique in all the world that I should do business with you? And so many times I'll see, an ad for a daycare, and it's just, the basic daycare kind of ad. And perhaps I know, because of my knowledge of the business owner or just what's going on, that particular daycare maybe won some special award, or that, the parents take their kids there for something really special and unique, their hours or the way they train their staff or something like that. And so many times something like that is really special about a business, but they don't convey that in their ads. So more so than anything is a business must determine what makes them special and unique, and they need as best they can to convey that in everything they put out, in any public relations pieces, any news articles, in their tagline, and in their ads. And ideally, they're even wearing, if it's a business that's appropriate, wearing a button around every day that says, this is what we do, and this is why.
Do you find that business owners often don't know what business they're in, quote unquote?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and to an extent, what I teach is you've got to look at who are your best customers and how can you get more of them. And that may not be the obvious answer. A great example of that, and it's a big company, but Dunkin' Donuts. Now, I haven't spoken with the head of Dunkin' Donuts people.
The Dunkin' mogul. Yes, right. The donut mogul.
They have said, or appear to have said, we are no longer in the donut business, but yes, we have donuts. We are in the beverage business. And they have realized that beverages, thanks to Starbucks, I guess, looking at what they've done, beverages can be very, very profitable. And so that's now what business they're in. They're very clear about that. They always are advertising the beverages. And McDonald's is following suit, if you've noticed, or if you, take a look at anything you see with McDonald's nowadays, when you go in or the drive-thru, they've got lots of marketing pieces about their beverages. So, yes, I think that's right. And it was a railroad mogul many years ago who said, we're not in the train business. We're in the transportation business.
Ah, yeah. And many in the food business, going back to food, often say, well, we're in the business of delivering satisfaction in terms of the customer satisfaction piece of all of this, which I guess is ubiquitous in any of these businesses.
A lot of restaurants, realize they are truly in the entertainment business, and that's their edge over somebody who just provides good food.
And I guess if I were to ask about around towns and what business you're truly in, it might not be that you're not printing magazines or newspapers at all. What business would you say you're in?
I would say that we're in the community building business.
Yeah.
Without any hammers or nails, we truly build stronger communities. By talking about what's going on, I call it the cycle of recognition. Let's say that Bob owns a hardware store and he, initiates helping with a Habitat for Humanity house. So he's doing something good. Mm-hmm. And then, we write about it and show a picture. And then somebody's reading the magazine, and let's say, Sarah sees it and says, wow, that was a good idea. I own a fitness club. I bet I could do something to help obese children in our community. And so it's this whole cycle of profiling things that are going on that are good, that inspires others to do things that are good, that in turn builds a stronger community.
Now, there's a huge trend, obviously, in entrepreneurship itself, and I was curious what you're seeing in the Atlanta region, and you have franchises in Florida, I believe. What are you seeing in terms of the traction around small business, both in terms of startup, in terms of growth, in terms of populations that are doing this? I'm just curious about your sort of looking at trends.
Well, one of the things about trends, and one of the reasons that I'm so passionate about the franchise industry as an industry, is Michael Gerber wrote about this many years ago, that the statistics are overwhelming that most small businesses fail. And the last statistics I saw were, you know, less than 10% of small businesses, new businesses, will make it to their fifth birthday. That's a bit of a tragedy. What we see in the franchise world is that it's almost the reverse. It's granted, earlier we were talking about how expensive it is to get your franchise concept documented so you can even sell it. To be able to do that, a franchise consultant is going to, you know, investigate to see if they think that you have a viable model. So when you have offered your business to the world as a franchise, generally you have a proven model. And you have worked with some professional that has helped you make it stronger and has documented how somebody else can come in and do it. So because of those things, and Michael Gerber didn't use the franchise word, he called it the business format system. And because that is a trend that more and more businesses are going to the franchise model, and more entrepreneurs, even people who've been in business themselves, something that they started, they're sometimes buying into franchises because they know that there's a lot of strength there. So that's one of the big trends that I see, and what something that I think is very good for America and for the world, actually, because you know, where people own their own businesses, there's more prosperity. Where there's more prosperity, there's more freedom. And where there's more freedom, there's more peace. And so here in our own country, as well as throughout the world, and many franchise concepts have gone worldwide. And while some people don't like walking into a McDonald's in Tokyo, you know, there's something to be said for this.
Incredible, and McDonald's, of course, is the most remarkable result of a vision around franchising or format business model, as you suggest. We're visiting with Gina Carr. She's the founder and CEO of Around Town Magazines, www.aroundtownmagazines.com. What's ahead for Around Town?
Well, we've reached that magic mark in the franchise world where people generally consider that you're healthy and maybe actually have a good idea that's working. We have 10 units, 10 different stores, mostly in Northwest Atlanta. We have one in out of Knoxville, Tennessee, one in Macon, Georgia. And we have we're into our 5-year mark. So those two are big marks in the franchise world. And so we've attracted some attention of some national consultants and just people who are, you know, helping us to take our concept bigger. So our hope is that we're going to really have a big growth spurt in the next year and then for the next 3 to 5 years, and that you'll see Around Town all over the place. I know you're out of Albuquerque, and hopefully we'll have some Around Town magazines there in Albuquerque sometime soon as well.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you continued success from the Small Biz Brain. Gina Carr has been our guest, founder and CEO of Around Town Magazines. That's aroundtownmagazines.com. Thanks so much for joining us on the Small Biz Brain.
Well, thank you, David.
Small Biz America.
The Brain.
This podcast is produced by Small Biz America. If you'd like to find out about hosting your own podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.